I'd like to read from Peter, First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, very well known passage of scripture, perhaps starting at verse 18. You have been redeemed, not by corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your vain conversation handed down from your fathers, but by precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Christ foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but who has been manifested at the end of times for your sakes, who by him do believe on God, who has raised him from among the dead and given him glory, that your faith and hope should be in God. It's not unusual for me to not know quite where I should be reading from, and I expect that's a familiar feeling to a number of preachers here tonight. But this passage of scripture is a very precious passage of scripture to me personally, because it speaks about what we have been redeemed by. And I find it so touching that Peter says here that ye have been redeemed not by corruptible things as silver or gold, from your vain conversation handed down from your fathers, but by precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish. It's very easy if you grow up as a Christian in a Christian congregation or a Christian church to start believing that it has something to do with tradition, that these gatherings are there because your fathers came here, and maybe your grandfather came here, and maybe it's something about culture. But I want to dispossess you of that belief tonight, because Peter is very clear about it, that we have been redeemed. How wonderful this is, that what we believe in is not based on vain conversation. It's not based on philosophy or any of these things. It's not based on any material thing in this world. Not silver, not gold, which men esteem to be the most precious things. Doesn't speak about diamonds, but those would be included too. It's not based on any of those things. There's only one thing that stands out before God. That is the basis for our redemption. And what does that mean? That we have been redeemed back to God. We have been won back to God. We have been purchased with a price. And what was that price? It was not silver and it was not gold. It wasn't generations of vain conversation. It wasn't traditions. It was based on the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Precious blood as of a lamb without blemish. What does that mean to you? What does this scripture mean to you? Have you trusted in the precious blood of Christ, foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but has been manifested at the end of times for your sakes? And how wonderful it is that we have abundant witness. We are inexcusable now as those who have the scriptures in our hands. You think there was a time when the scriptures were only available to a few. But through God's ways, the scriptures are published in thousands upon thousands and tens of thousands, so that we are rendered completely without excuse. And we have the Holy Spirit, who's able to communicate the holy things of God to each and every soul. By him do believe on God, who has raised him from among the dead and given him glory, that your faith and hope should be in God. Do you believe in that blood, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes I think the extent to which God has gone to win us back to himself, that is why it is so precious. And you think of what led up to it and the extent to which the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself, that we, the undeserving, might be ransomed, that we might be redeemed back to God. That, my friend, is the meaning of love. The depths to which our Lord Jesus Christ, Saviour of the world, was prepared to go, that we might be won back to God. And you know the story very well, how the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and his face was set as a flint to go to Jerusalem. And we think of that pathway, all the obstacles, every obstacle overcome, that he might go the way of the cross, that he might be made a sacrifice for you and for me. And no matter how bad we are, even though it is over 2,000 years later, no matter the sins that we have committed, our thoughts, our actions, all those things are horrible to God's holy nature. He is holy and righteous. And yet, he saw our condition as lost and ruined and undone. He could see through time. He could see our lives here in 2018. He knew what we would do in the past week and the past month and the past year. And he gave himself there on Calvary's cross that we might be ransomed, redeemed, purchased, brought back to God by his precious blood. Think of what he gave. He gave his face to shame and spitting. He gave his back to those that whipped, and his back there. And these sufferings at the hand of man, how horrible they were, what he was prepared to go through. And then you think of what he was prepared to go through at the hands of his righteous and his holy Father. He was prepared to be made an offering for sin. You think of that. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was God. He was God himself. He was also man. And he shuddered as God at the thought of his holy and his righteous soul being made a sacrifice for sin. But he went through with it because it says that his face was set as a flint to go to Jerusalem, that we might be won back. And he suffered there for 3 hours in darkness on Calvary's cross, that we might be set free. And you think there that he could say, "It is finished." Think of those words which came from that cross. That work was complete. There's nothing left that needs to be done. It has been done entirely to God's satisfaction. He has suffered for the sins of the world, that we might go free. And it is just for us to confess his name, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that it was done for us. Believe that that blood was shed at Calvary's cross, that we might go free, that we might understand, perhaps freshly for the first time, as you've never understood it before, the love of God that was so great that he was prepared to give his only son, that we might go free, that you might be forgiven from all your sin, the past, the present, the future, until your dying day, all washed away in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a hope we have. It speaks here of this end, that your faith and hope should be in God. And it's my earnest desire that everybody in this room tonight has a faith and hope in God. And these things that are unshakable. We live in a very unstable world, don't we? So much uncertainty, so much violence, so much hatred. But it's good to have the scriptures in our hands, and even better, to have them in our hearts. and know them by the Spirit that these things are true, these certainties that Christ's blood was shed that we might get free, that we might have remission of sins, these certainties that he rose from amongst the grave by the glory of the Father and is alive to die no more. These certainties that we have that, yes, God is a holy and he is a righteous God, but above all, he is a God of love who has demonstrated it in the giving of his only Son that we might be free. How this should touch every man, woman and child. They should be touched by the Spirit and understand that the love of God is for them. So this tremendous tide of love is towards them. No matter what they do, no matter what you have done, what you have thought, no matter how far you have turned away, the love of God is greater than your turning away. The love of God is enough to bring you back. The love of God is enough to break you and make you fall on your face in repentance towards a holy and a righteous God, that you might get free and that you might have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I trust these things are real to us. And I just, you know, I had that impression that it really is very easy when you've been in the meetings and in Christian congregations for a long time to get into habits and get into, if you like, rituals. And we can be repetitive and it's possible not to have our hearts moved. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is able to move our hearts so that we freshly realise the amazing love of God that was demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be forgiven, that we might be ransomed, and that we might be redeemed back to God, that we might have a hope. There is no hope in things here, absolutely no hope. No material thing can give you no hope. No relative can give you no hope. Nothing in this world. It all corrupts and spoils. I was speaking to somebody not so long ago, common interest, who's a bit older than me, and we had a short conversation, and all of a sudden he was talking about how he used to have conversations with his friend about something. They had a joint interest in something, and he enjoyed his company. But then he said, but he's dead now, and he turned away. There's nothing in this world that has any certainty apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our rock and he is our certainty. We know he has given himself as a loving, holy sacrifice, and nothing can move that. If we've trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ, nothing can shake our salvation. Our eternal salvation is secure because we are forever in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I trust that we all are trusting in him, his precious blood. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.